Hi, welcome back to another episode of Carding Dads. This is episode number 3. In this episode, we are going to give a weekend review on what happened this weekend with Emmanuel up at Roebling Road with NASA, and he'll give a little details of what he does for that organization, not only in the Florida group, but also the Southeast. We will talk about his Comet Eagle getting his seat mounted, some dirt carts that we got, and as well as a good conversation of our skills compared to the local competition and what we have here in Jacksonville. Appreciate you listening and enjoy.
What up, what up?
What's going on, dude?
Oh, it's been like forever since I saw you, man.
Yeah, pretty much.
A couple hours ago.
That's what usually happens. So it's what happens when you have kids, right?
Yep. Yeah, I saw you for some time today, but man, we got just so busy and we never got a chance to to record the show. So let's get into it.
Yeah, man. So how was the NASA event? Let everybody know kind of what you do for NASA Pro Racing, not only in the Florida region, but also the Southeast.
Yeah, so this weekend was an event with NASA Southeast at Roebling Road. My title officially is still Chief of Race Control. I basically get to play a race director sort of role now, so I don't have to be in the tower listening to you know, the radio calls every minute, but I handle incidents afterwards. But even that, you know, we have so much help in the Southeast. And this past weekend, Julie, the registrar, needed more help, and so I got to sit with her and I got to run around like a mad chicken taking care of everything that, you know, I could get my hands on. I was just begging for work, so I was running out to track, passing out radios that were going bad, you know, helping people with their transponder issues, passing grid sheets to grid. So yeah, now I think I don't have an official title anymore. I think I just do everything. So it's pretty cool. I'm enjoying it. So yeah, it was a good weekend. It was a good weekend at Roebling Road, man. I didn't get to race, which was a bummer. I was really looking forward to racing this weekend. But yeah, you know, one thing happened and car just never got done in time. But, you know, it happens. You know, usually I'd be bummed about it a lot more. But, man, I got to work on carts today, so that was fun.
Yeah. So with your cart today, we didn't have a lot of time to work on it, you know, but we got the Comet Eagle somewhat going. We got a seat mounted. We know we got you sit in the position that you want, where you feel comfortable with, unlike a little cramped space you had with the Coyote. But, you know, we got that secure, and you know, that was fun.
Yeah, that's cool. And, big props to you, man. So I'm going to let you explain your little contraption that you made at work. But that was really cool, man. That came in really handy making the seat mounting process really easy. So that was pretty cool. Let's tell everybody what you did, man.
So with Emmanuel being the, you know, French fry that he is, and finding a seat for you is not the easiest thing, you know, with you being so tall and so skinny. And with the Comet Eagle, the seat posts are in a fixed position, so you can't move the backrest where you want them. You can move the fronts to a certain point, but not the back. So instead of us you know, using 15 washers on one side, 10 washers on the other, you know, 6 washers underneath, I just went ahead and cut out some UHMW plastic to help us use a spacer. So we have one spacer that are custom made for each seat post. So, when we do have to take the seat out, we don't have to worry about how many washers were on one post compared to how many washers on the other, and they get everything mixed up. So it's one spacer per side, and they're all labeled, and it's going to be really easy. And, you know, it's something that I thought of that, you know, you don't take your seat off too much, but, you know, when you want to go strip down your chassis and either get it powder coated or clean everything and just want to take everything down to the bare minimum, you don't want to have to be chasing washers. That's, you know, right. Washers aren't very expensive if you have to go buy new ones, but at the same time, yeah, if we could save a couple pennies, let's save a couple pennies.
Yeah, and it's really just trying to get them all lined up, and, you know, once you take it off, you know, they get scattered everywhere, and if you use same size washers for something else, then, you know, I remember when Steven came over and we were mounting his seat, I was borrowing washers from my old cart, from my toolbox. I don't even know what the washers belonged to, but we needed to find a ton of washers to fit those. So that's really cool, man. Yeah, one of these days, we'll, on the Carton Dad's Facebook page or something, we gotta post a picture of it. Now, if you ever end up giving it to somebody, we need to give them the warning on the box. Do not try to use a table saw to cut it. So, I mean, we knew what we needed to do. You messaged me, you know, when you said you're going to do it, that, hey, you got a bandsaw? I'm like, yeah, I got a bandsaw in the shop. It's like, sweet. So the plan was always to use the bandsaw. But since I'm in the middle of moving, the bandsaw is all the way in the back. And the table saw was closer. And somehow, you know, it's like, hold my beer, watch this kind of attitude.
Yep.
Like, I bet the table saw would do that just fine. Let's just, I raised it. It was a perfect inch clearance. And yeah, I kind of was going so slow. It just melted a little bit of it. So we ended up going back to the bandsaw. So we need to put that warning on the box for anybody who wants to do it. Do not try to
use a bandsaw or a handsaw. So, dude, speaking of hold my beer, so we just happened to be at the right place at the right time. And one day, not one day, but all of a sudden we have a couple dirt carts in our possession.
Yeah. that's an interesting story. So I've driven dirt carts twice now. And, man, the guy who let me drive his dirt cart, he's a good friend of my father-in-law's, and he was just getting started, so he bought two carts, one for him and one for his daughter, and his daughter never got into it. So out the gate, he had two carts, and to get that two cart, you know, to get the two carts to the track, he got a two cart trailer. And then obviously once he got into it, he got addicted and he had to buy the latest and greatest. So he bought more and more and more carts. So as he has moved up and gotten quicker in the last 3 years or so, he still has this two cart trailer, but he doesn't trailer his carts anymore. Now he gets track support, right, from this other guy we call Rooster. So yeah, I know. Yeah, he races some dirts in Florida. Rooster takes care of all his stuff. Rooster has a big 24-foot trailer, and so yeah, that's, he doesn't need his two cart trailer anymore. And picking up my new Comet Eagle, I still had my Coyote, so, and I was going to race that weekend. So I figured, how am I going to bring the two carts home? And I called Andy up and I said, hey, Andy, can I borrow your two cart trailer? He's like, yeah, it's been sitting in your father-in-law's, you know, yard for, and yeah, this is the office yard, for a couple, you know, a year or something now. Just go take it. And it's like, okay, cool. So I go grab it. I open it. There's three chassis in there. Two of them have full body. One of them has a seat. You know, I mean, there's just whatever. There's line, fuel lines and some throttle cables and others. It's all there. And I was like, hey, Andy, you got stuff in here. He goes, yeah, I don't need any of it. In fact, I don't need the trailer for a bit. So whatever you need. So, yeah, I get home and, you know, obviously I get my two carts and the three dirt carts. So lots of dirt carts.
Yeah, so we might have to try these out one day, but at the same time, all our money right now is kind of tied up into these sprint style carts. But if any one of you fans that are following this show who are interested in dirt and want to give us some pointers or help us out with some wheels and tires, you know, we have, you know, two carts all fully together. One is just a chassis. You know, we wouldn't mind going and joining, you know, the kind of class you run in to help with, you know, entry fees or numbers and entry whatsoever. We just don't know what we're doing in dirt. Same thing. We don't know what we're doing in sprint either, but.
I was going to say, that goes for everything.
So one thing we figured out today, and I mean, to probably somebody more familiar with carts, unlike us, kind of a common sense thing is we got the Comet Eagle together, and we've just bought a whole bunch of stuff for the Coyote. Now, the Coyote is standard measurements. Everything is, you know, 5/16, you know, 1/2 inch, 1/4 inch, 3/16. And so we wanted to go ahead and put the Comet Eagle on the scales, but yeah, the Comet Eagle that we have is in metric. So I don't know if it's like this for all of them or if it's just in our case it was. So we couldn't take the wheels from the Coyote and put it on to the Comet Eagle because the patterns were different. And that was kind of a bummer because, yeah, you know, we wanted to get the seat on the scales and make sure, you know, to what we think might be right. We don't know if it is or not, but what we think might be right, and get the thing kind of weighed out a little bit. But, you know, it's always something, right?
It's always something. Yeah, I was super bummed, I'm not going to lie, because I really wanted to put just as is, see what the weights were. Because you mentioned a good point when I was getting it, is if you get a new cart, there's really no reason to go adjust anything, right? You should just be able to drop it, drop your seat in. You know, if you need to shift a little weight around to get the balance you want, but you should basically be able to go, you know, other than the front end alignment, of course.
Right, right.
You know, you're not about hoop. Yeah, I was really interested to see what would happen because both are our old, you know, carts. At one point or another, we've seen it just seems to have just over age. It's metal. Metal bends as you put load in it. And for this, especially here in Jack's, we're taking the same turn one at 62 miles an hour and, you know, left-hander and leaning into it. Over time, it's going to bend in place. So
right.
Both our chassis have bent a little bit. So we always have to kind of get back to bending it. So I just wanted to see out of the gate what it looked like. And we didn't have a whole lot of time anyway. So guess I'm going to be ordering me. Well, the truth is, it came with two sets of wheels. So I have 12 wheels for the Coyote, the rears. But I just really need, you know, another set. And that would be basically back to where I was. And just need some work on putting tires on, which, God forgive me, once again, I suck at putting tires on. And I know you're better than me and you struggle with it. So.
Yeah, that's something I don't really like doing. And it might go back to the old conversations of old school guys who are like, oh, man, you're not a man unless you do your own tires. But that's a whole conversation.
Yeah, forget for that. Forget that. I'll be a girl any day. That's the conversation.
Yeah, no, but
no, they can have it.
But you know, that. I mean, you brought up a good point, maybe not really kind of realizing it. To me, it kind of hits home about, you know, what is the right position of a seat? You know, if you look up, you know, the Comp Cart videos and, you know, the Comet Eagle videos and the Ionic Edge videos on how to mount your seat, everyone's kind of different to a point. So when you're mounting the seat, you know, do you want to mount it? You know, it's kind of goes both ways, to driver comfort or what is right for the cart. Because driver comfort might be better for you, but the cart doesn't like it. For the cart, it might be better for the cart, but if you can't adjust to the way the cart is because of the weight distribution of your seat and your reactions aren't right, or your, I guess, smooth wouldn't be like the right term because, you know, what is smooth? You know, so that's, you know, we just mount the seat the way that we see fit for driver comfort for you. And it's time, like, we just have to adapt to the cart. So when it comes to actually mounting the seat, it kind of goes back to the thing. What is the right way? Is there a right way? It's just like the conversation we had today on setups. There is no perfect setup right out the gate. Like, this is what you need.
Right.
Because just because this setup worked out, well, that was my dog. Just because this setup worked, you know, today at 11 a.m. doesn't mean it's going to work, you know, at 1 p.m. in the same day. So
yeah, if that was the case, nobody would be messing with setups at the track, right? People bring scales with them and everything.
It's crazy on how, like, finicky these things can be. And, you know, you never think about these kind of things kind of in the car so much. that we do with NASA. I mean, you do make your adjustments the way that, you know, the track is going, but nothing nowhere near as dramatic as this on cards. But, you know, so it goes to the thing that we don't know. You're only going to learn from experience. You have to make mistakes to learn. If you don't make mistakes, you're never going to learn.
Yeah, and I was, you know, I think we were talking about something, and I don't remember exactly what now. But I was like, oh, man, we should totally ask that question on a place like Kart Polls. Definitely not the 206 Facebook group, because I love the group. But, man, that question that came up last week about gear ratios and putting a bigger driver or a smaller driver, that conversation went all kinds of sideways. So, yeah, but I just kind of wanted to try something like Kart Polls and just ask. It's a smaller group and probably limiting the audience reach, but I really want to find out just posting the video, for example, from Comp Kart, because, man, he made it look so easy.
And, yeah, he just like, you know, here, you put simple. It here, you add this little washer here, and we have this little jig that goes on the axle and sets it up. And look, you take the jig off the axle. If you have it in the right position, it won't move. Yeah. Come again.
And you know what? If he was there and he did that and I sat in it and it was perfect, I'd probably be like, oh my God, it should be this easy all the time. But you and I know, you know, I mean, to be, if we had that same seat, for example, because my seat was smaller, right? So if we had the seat that fit perfectly and the washers that went perfectly to where the posts were, then yeah, I mean, I could see it working out that way, but it's always something. So yeah, I don't know the answer to that yet. And like you said, we really don't know, and we'll be looking, we'll be trying to find out stuff, but there's a lot we're trying to figure out. Like, you know, are we just plateaued? Are we just stuck where we are because of our skill? Or I don't know. Like, we got a million things to figure out. So it'll be fun. I think maybe at the end of the year or something, we'll come back and listen to the first few episodes and find out some of the things that we're asking these questions on. And hopefully we can work on them in the end of year. Just because I listen to enough podcasts where they do end of year recap, this might be one of the things we talk about at the end of the year, is simple as seats, or even just, you know, the questions we're asking now, if we found better answers to them, right, than what we have already, what we know already.
Yeah, our conversation on kind of plateauing, I think you brought up a good point. You know, we feel like I feel like I'm plateauing to a certain point, but at the same time, like when you brought it up, that the last race we had 5 national champions in the class of 18, right? And so the people that weren't national champions were still within 0.1 or 0.2 of them. And that was like the top 10, top 12. So we have so many fast guys in this region, you know, maybe we need to bring slower guys in to find out what the heck we're doing. But no.
Yeah, for sure.
If you were, you know, and it's the only way to learn is, you know, in any sport, you come across people better than you, and you have to learn from them. You know, they're learning from somebody else. No one's ever the top. No one's ever the best of the best. If that's the case, then, you know, no sport would be here, because people would all quit, because it's like, oh, if you can never beat them, why do it? So,
right.
You know, we have exactly. Those three or four laps that we can learn. Quit. Yeah. We have those 3 or 4 laps that we can learn from them and see their lines and listen to their motors or whatever it is. But after a certain point, it's like, okay, that, you know, half a second or 6/10 of a second of a lap faster just starts accumulating. You're like, God, that's it. That gummit.
And I think that, you know, that's solid, because if anybody listening kind of feels that way, well, I would say it's probably allowing me to kind of question is, if I watch their lap or listen to their engine around the track, the simple answer is, can I do exactly what they did without making a mistake? Because if I was doing it exactly the same and I knew 100% that I'm carrying the same speed and same RPM and I'm not scrubbing, you know, more than they did and all those things, and I wasn't going anywhere else, and then I changed my motor, because obviously that's another thing that's important, put the latest motor on there and I wasn't getting any quicker, and then I got exactly the same, you know, chassis, maybe 2 or 3, you know, builds after theirs in the same batch, same generation, because metal, it's metal, man. You never know when you get something that just doesn't work and you have to try another one. So if I did all that, then maybe I would say, okay, I give up, right? This is where I'm going to be. I'm just going to accept it. But I have listed six or seven variables that I can't even check off completely on a given day, right? I don't know what tire pressures they're running to get it dialed in. I may be running completely opposite. My setup isn't exactly the same as theirs. So, if my setup ain't right because I don't have enough knowledge to know, where to go with it, I'm giving the wrong feedback to the guy helping me tune because I'm not sharing, the way the track is going, maybe what I felt that my brain locked in memory. But if I'm not sharing, that got on, after like lap 7 or 8, oh, the cart started coming alive. And so maybe the setup is fine. The pressure's built up just fine. And maybe I just need to adjust my driving for the first 3 laps because it's just going to be cold. And if it's qualifying, maybe I started my finishing pressures. There's all those little things. And until you could say for a fact that you did all those right and you still got your butt handed to you because you just ain't had it, then yeah. But I got a million things to work on from those things I just mentioned.
Yeah,
And it's like,
definitely.
yeah, I'm nowhere near where I need to be if I'm still asking those questions,
Yeah, because we're like we missed out on something because with tire pressures, for instance, because the guys up front, when we were all in the line to get weighed, all four tires were perfect all the way across, and we had a little bit of buildup on the left side, so we missed something. What did we miss? We don't know. I mean, we're still rookies in this sport. We're still trying to figure it out. We're still trying to help people get into the sport. So, again, we're chasing fun, not championships. But at the same time, we kind of want to compete. But, it's just a huge learning curve that, we kind of expected, but maybe not so much.
I don't know about you. I don't
It's
know
hard,
about you, but
man.
I this is kind of I mean, I expected this to an extent, but man, I could see why somebody would give up.
Yes, one
I
hundred
ain't giving up,
percent.
but I can see why someone would give up because I mean, it feels like it's been, for me, 2 years. For you, it's been just a little over a year, but 2 years, and I really, if I were to count the total hours spent on this, maybe. And maybe 15, maybe between 15 and 20 total hours,
If that.
actual focused practice. And then I have to step back and say, I ran track and I did sports. Give me any sport in the world where after 15 hours you expect to, go beat somebody who is, the best at your school.
Yes, exactly. Just your school, not talking about your city or your state or
Right,
country or.
exactly. Hell, even in just if the guy is the best in your class, you're telling me after 15 hours of practice of some sport, you're gonna be better than, the people who are actually winning. Hell no. So yeah, I mean, when you put it in that perspective and count the amount of time and effort put into it, it's not completely linear. So yes, you don't have to spend, 15 hours times, 10 years. No, once better, it gets easier and easier. And so every 10 minutes you spend on the track could be what used to be 30 minutes because your brain can, grasp so much more and you can put more and more together. So yeah, I'm not too worried right now. It's a nice long learning curve. And we have things that we've wanted to try just for trying sake that we haven't done yet.
Right.
From day one, we've said, let's go out. Let's just start with the rear axle. Send it all the way to the end, right? Just widen out as wide as it'll go. Go drive, feel what it does. Bring it all the way inside. Know the total opposites. Bring it back to the middle. Fine tune just on the day, just playing with the rear axles alone. Where does it feel the best? But not just where it feels the best, which way the cart went when we did that.
Yes.
Because in theory, we know what it should be in theory, right? We
Right.
know in theory, if you're understeering, in the rear, then it means you're too narrow, right? You want to widen out for a little more grip. In theory, we know this, but man, we ain't actually practiced that and felt that,
Yeah,
So
that's true. That's true. I mean,
there's a lot
it's something that, we always go back to, the topic of, okay, so we just spent all this money in the tires, do we want to really wear out our equipment before we go to a race? But at the same time, you're never going to know unless you actually wear it out. But no, so that's to your point. I mean, that's something really good we can work on this weekend because, you know, we plan on going out.
Exactly.
Testing out the Eagle for you. And then I'm going to let you hop in my cart and because my cart's a little bit stiffer than yours, going from a Y track to an XP and then to an Eagle and see kind of maybe getting a good comparison of the two carts and do a little review on those.
Yeah, definitely. That should be the game plan for the weekend. You know, just try it out. We'll run it as is. We'll just write some stuff down, and you know, if it's all together, just play with it just a little bit, widen out, you know, narrow it up a bit. Just do that because we have the next local race in 2 weeks, so you know, we kind of have some time. So we'll play with that this weekend, I think.
Yeah, man, that sounds like a plan. So, if any of you guys out there listening who are around on Saturday, if you want to come join us in Jacksonville 103rd, let us know. We'll be out there and we'll help you however we can. Sound like a plan?
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. So, all right, I guess I will catch up with you later in the week as we plan out later in the week. Like, I'm not going to call you tomorrow after work or something. But we'll have a game plan for the weekend. Like you say, whether or not we're doing something important, who cares? We're just going to have a ton of fun, man.
All right, dude. Well, let's take it easy, man, and I'll give you a shot tomorrow. All right. See ya.